welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Today's show is dedicated to all the weary parents and many grandparents who find themselves entangled in the chaos of the COVID-19-2020 academic school year, trying to navigate uncertain waters in uncertain times in an effort to provide the best learning opportunities for their children. For all you tirelessly do, thank you. And remember, you are in our prayers, you are not alone, and may today's program be of great benefit to you as you persevere, resting in God's goodness. Sandy has three kids. None of them are alike. One studies on the floor with paper strewn everywhere. Another lies on the bed with the radio blaring. And the third sits at the dinner table with cookies in hand. It used to drive her crazy. After all, this isn't how she was raised, but this is the way her children learn. In today's enlightening resource, Cynthia Tobias unveils the variety of learning styles that shape the way students interact with their world. Once these approaches are understood, parents and teachers can become far more effective in helping children grasp confusing concepts, staying interested in lessons, and utilize their strengths. For instance, in teaching vocabulary words, some children respond best by using flashcards, while others need verbal drills. A third group thrives on using body movements to help recall the definitions. By recognizing children's learning preferences, you can reach them more efficiently and effectively. And with our nation in an educational crisis and countless parents finding themselves in the throes of virtual learning, there's never been a better time for this book. The Way They Learn, written by Cynthia Tobias, should be required reading for any parent or teacher who really wants to see their kids succeed in school, whether it be in a homeschool, virtual, hybrid, or in-class setting. So come be a part as we investigate these powerful tools for drawing out the best in your child. Give your children the best chance for success by coming to understand the way they learn. Like Sandy, if you're a parent with more than one child, you've already discovered that even children growing up in very similar circumstances and environments can have drastically dissimilar approaches to life. You begin to realize that people are fundamentally different. The individual bents that cause each person to be unique often bring an overwhelming challenge to parents. It is not enough to simply decide how children should be reared and then apply the same techniques to each child. Parents need to get to know their children, and no two will be the same. Often, with the very best of intentions, we set out to chart the course and plan the events of our children's lives according to what makes sense to us, the way we did it. After all, we're living proof of what works. What seldom occurs to us is that other people, perhaps even those in our own family, may view the world in an entirely different way than we do. It therefore stands to reason that when we try to teach or communicate with our children and others, they are not all going to benefit from the same approach. If you're like many busy parents, you may become frustrated when you try to help your child, follow directions, do homework, or review for a test. You may be convinced that your child simply isn't trying hard enough. The fact is, each of our children perceives the world differently from the way we do, with his or her own natural strengths and preferences. These individual gifts or bents are called learning styles. Although we accept and even cherish each child's uniqueness, it is often difficult to work with the combined variation of all of our children when we are also trying to juggle family schedules and the many demands of school and work. Knowing that she was to be the mother of twins, Tobias did a lot of reading. One article had an excellent suggestion for every parent. The writer suggested taking at least 15 minutes a day to spend alone with each child. It recommended you choose a safe and fun play area, and then let your child show you how he or she prefers to play and interact with you. Short of absolute necessity, you should make no corrections, suggestions, or negative comments. Simply enjoy being with your child. Give as many positive comments as possible, and make some mental notes as to how your child prefers doing things. If you do this consistently with your children, you will be amazed at how easy it is to identify their different learning styles. Getting to know each of your children as individuals is an exhausting but rewarding proposition. The busier and more complicated our life becomes, the harder it is to remember that each person in our family has a unique and valuable contribution to make from his or her own perspective. It is Tobias's intention to help you discover these different perspectives and to aid you in developing quick, practical ways to help your child adapt his or her inborn strengths to the varied demands of learning, both in school and throughout the rest of life. Despite what children think, parents rarely intentionally frustrate their children. But intentional or not, it happens. By reading The Way They Learn, you can learn to identify many areas of frustration and conflict that can be directly attributed to a mismatch of the child's learning style and the parents. The challenge for parents is to find positive ways of building on their children's natural strengths without sacrificing desired bottom-line outcomes. Believe it or not, it can be done. Another important task for parents is to help their children effectively work with a variety of teachers, who will undoubtedly have numerous teaching styles. After reading this book, you will have gathered some very positive information to share with your children's teachers. As a teacher herself, Tobias indicates, if you will approach both administrators and teachers from a positive perspective, you will be surprised at how open they are to learning about your child's individual style. When Tobias first started teaching, she quickly realized that many of her students didn't learn the way she did. However, she honestly thought it was because they didn't know how. Surely, if she could teach them to learn her way, it would eventually make perfect sense to them. This book is just the tip of the iceberg about learning styles, yet in it, Tobias has highlighted the most practical aspects of 5 leading research models on the subject. I hope you will find it as fascinating as I did when I first read it, and can say from personal experience that it was an essential asset that I referred to on multiple occasions when my youngest was going through his elementary and junior high years. Each person is so complex and unique, no one learning style model can fully describe what a person is. But we can recognize and identify patterns of behavior and communication that will become keys for understanding and appreciating style differences. What we dare not do is insist that each person fit neatly into a category. Even though you will find some invaluable checklists and assessments throughout the book, you will also discover that identifying and understanding individual learning styles is an ongoing journey of observation and impressions. Therefore, Tobias asks you to keep in mind the following 5 general guidelines. Observe. Observe patterns of behavior. When you or your child experience success, what are the circumstances that brought about that success? Listen. Listen to the way a person communicates. If you only talk to others the way you want them to talk to you, you may discover you're speaking a language that is foreign to them. Listening carefully can teach you how to talk to them. Experiment. Experiment with what works and what doesn't. Keep an open mind and remember that even if an approach to learning doesn't make sense to you, it may work for your children. Focus. Focus on natural strengths, not weaknesses. Unfortunately, it is so much easier to pinpoint areas where we need improvement than to bolster sources of strength. And finally, learn. Learn more about learning styles in general, but pay close attention to your child's and your own learning styles. If I spoke to you in Russian, but you didn't know the Russian language, you wouldn't understand me. If I noticed your bewildered expression, I might slow down and repeat myself more clearly and in a louder tone. But despite my best efforts, no matter how many times I repeated it, how well I articulated it, or how loudly I spoke, as long as I continued to speak Russian, the chances are pretty remote that you would understand what I was saying. How often have you heard yourself saying to your children, "How many times do I have to tell you this?" Or, "What did I just say?" Or, "Didn't you hear what I just said?" The fact is, they probably did hear the words you said, but did not understand what you meant. Each of us takes in information in a different way, and because our learning styles are so diverse, we may as well be trying to communicate with each other in two languages. Tobias recalls early in her relationship with her husband that they frequently struggled to get their point across to one another. One day in frustration, Tobias's husband said, "I'm just talking to you the way I want you to talk to me." He paused and then added, "And I guess maybe you're doing the same thing." For the first time, they both realized that the golden rule, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you," doesn't always work when trying to communicate. If we only talk to people in the way we prefer they talk to us, and they are busy doing the same thing, chances are good that no one is truly listening. We haven't reached a common level of communication. Tobias presents one of the most effective models for understanding learning style differences, which comes from the research of Dr. Anthony Gregoric. His model provides invaluable insights into how our minds perceive and understand information. There are basically two points of view: perception, the way we take in information, and ordering, the way we use the information we perceive. These two viewpoints result in four learning style combinations. Each of us has a dominant style or styles that give us a unique blend of natural strengths and abilities. A dominant learning style characteristics worksheet is provided in the book and will help determine you and your child's learning styles. A quick overview and comparison chart is also a great resource. All four learning styles are thoroughly discussed with numerous examples and lots of practical application. There are several fun activities for you and your child to do together to help you both begin to understand your learning style with its individual strengths and weaknesses. But this isn't all the book includes. Once you've completed the assessment and have a basic grasp of the four learning styles and how our minds work, Tobias adds another layer to the overall picture. We all have certain preferences for our most productive learning environments. Such things as the way a room is lighted or heated, if the chairs are comfortable or not, if we are hungry or not, can all influence our ability to concentrate. Identifying these environmental preferences will add an important dimension to your understanding of learning styles. As parents, it is quite natural for us to insist that our children study and approach learning tasks in ways that make sense to us. But think about it. How many of you are married to someone exactly like you? It is rare. Isn't it interesting how we are drawn to those so different from us for their refreshing perspective, and then find ourselves so annoyed by the contrast between our styles on a day-to-day basis? Now, if you think you and your spouse are so dramatically different in your approaches to life, just think of the myriad of combinations your children will exhibit. But wait, all is not lost. We can learn to use our children's choices of environmental preferences to help them concentrate and learn. Let's look at some different study environments and see which are best when a person really needs to concentrate and learn effectively. Utilizing some leading research in this field by Kenneth and Rita Dunn, Tobias highlights a few important factors every parent should consider when trying to find the most effective way to help their children concentrate. Where should children study? The traditional idea of giving our children a suitable place to study has been around for generations. The standard approach is to insist upon a consistent time each evening, provide a clean, quiet, well-lit room with a desk and chair, and make sure that the room and the child are free from distractions. For many children, as well as adults, this is a very effective way to concentrate. For some of us, however, Tobias notes, it is tantamount to being imprisoned without possibility of parole. She writes, I have always favored working on the floor, both as a student and as an adult. Even if I'm dressed in a business suit, I will close my office door and spread everything out on the floor before commencing my work. At home, my husband will often find me hunched over books and papers on the floor, lost in thought. He gets concerned. The light is terrible in here, he exclaims, and you're going to ruin your back sitting on the floor like that. We have a perfectly clean and wonderful roll-top desk. He sweeps up my papers and neatly places them on the desk, helps me into the chair, turns on the high-intensity lamp, pats my shoulder. Isn't that better, he asks. I nod, wait until he's down the hall and out of sight. Then I gather all my papers and go back down on the floor. You see, I could sit at the roll-top desk for as long as he really needed me to sit there. But that's all I'd be doing, sitting at the roll-top desk. It doesn't occur to him that anyone in their right mind could actually work better on the floor than at the desk, or concentrate better in 10-minute spurts with music or noise in the background than in a silent 60-minute block of time. Sitting on the couch or curling up on the floor is the only way some people can get comfortable enough to really concentrate. Because of our individual preferences, it's important to remember that our way won't always work for everyone in our family. Instead of insisting on a particular place for your child to study, try watching what position your child uses most often when engrossed in a book or favorite task, and let them use the same position for studying. How quiet should it be? Some parents have a hard time imagining that a person could actually need noise to keep from being distracted. Tobias, for one, is greatly distracted by solitude and silence. Her husband, on the other hand, is dependent upon those two elements for any constructive task. Often parents will express surprise that their children seem to get the most homework done when sitting in the middle of the living room with the television on and other family members coming and going. Many students tell Tobias that they do their best work while lying comfortably on a bed. Others claim they must be sitting in hard chairs in order to stay alert. What about light? At some point in our lives, most of us have heard our moms tell us, "Turn on the light or you'll ruin your eyes." The truth is, we all seem to have different levels of tolerance for bright or dim light. In most families, there's at least one person who goes around turning off lights behind the person who is turning on every light in the house. Be willing to experiment with different levels of light to find out what is most comfortable and produces the best learning environment for your child. The key is to use enough light to see without having to strain your eyes. Remember, the chances are very good that your preferences will be different from those of your children. Should you turn up the heat? If you walk into almost any classroom around the country, you will usually find some students sitting comfortably in lightweight short-sleeved shirts, while others are shivering in their sweaters and jackets. When it comes to ideal room temperature, there are physical differences between individuals. If the temperature is too hot or too cold, many students will not be able to concentrate. While some adapt easily to varying temperatures, others need the room to be comfortable before they can pay attention to anything else. One of Tobias's favorite anecdotes relates to a researcher who was testing young students on their knowledge of basic words. "What is a sweater?" she asked the children. One small boy near the front immediately raised his hand and answered matter-of-factly, "It's what your mother makes you wear when she's cold." Should students be allowed to eat while studying? It's been a long-standing rule in traditional classrooms that no food or drink is allowed. For some children, this is not a problem, since eating or drinking might distract them from listening and concentrating. For others, however, eating or drinking may be necessary to keep their minds focused on what they're doing. Although it's not always practical to have food and drink in the classroom, it is certainly something parents should consider when their children are learning or doing their homework at home. Listening to the internal time clock. Since I was always a morning person, Tobias reports, I was surprised to find out that there are those who are actually annoyed by people who appear to be too alert or cheerful before 10 a.m. On the other hand, I'm ready to call it a day before the 10 o'clock news, while the night people are just getting their great spurt of energy. If you have one child who is most alert in the morning and another who is the proverbial night owl, it is unrealistic to expect them both to do their best work on homework at the same time of day. It is important to remember, though, that not all of these categories of environmental preferences are equally important to all people. For example, Tobias concentrates better when she can eat or drink something while she's working, but she can work without it. She can't work at all, however, if she's cold. Tobias offers several activities to help identify the elements that are essential to your child's ability to concentrate successfully, then suggests working to achieve as many environmental preferences as possible, as often as possible. Remember, however, that children should not be able to use their learning style as an excuse to avoid doing something that doesn't come naturally or sound fun. If you define specific outcomes you want your child to accomplish, you can help them achieve those outcomes in a way that makes the most sense to their natural learning styles. In circumstances where you cannot accommodate your child's natural learning style, you can help them understand and cope with the demands of doing whatever they must by recognizing and talking with them about why they may find the task frustrating. You can show them how to identify and use their natural strengths to do those things that don't come easily for them. There are also great chapters on how we understand and how we remember. Learning that my son was a kinesthetic kid was a huge turning point in our family. Now, many parents say that their children have some pretty ridiculous claims about where and when they'd like to do their homework. These parents wonder how anyone can work late at night on the couch with a can of pop and the radio on. If getting your child to do homework is becoming an almost impossible chore, Tobias offers a radical experiment for getting your child to do homework that just might be the ticket. It has never been more important to help our children succeed in a world that is often difficult to understand, and it can make a real difference with your child if you will devote time and energy to discover the way they learn. The Way They Learn by Cynthia Tobias can be found online and is currently available in paperback and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf, none of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all writings and teaching by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.